Right, welcome along to the 14th Manx Footy Pod. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by St George's duo Callum Morrissey and Wes Dowling. Plus, Dave's back off his sick bed, aren't you, Dave?
Just about.
We apologise now for any coughing that may interrupt this podcast today. Also, I spoke to Alex Harrison after St Mary's draw with the Peel last week, so that's all to come today. We're joined by Callum and Wes today. We've got you in to discuss the season so far and look ahead to Saturday's big Railway Cup semi-final with Peel. But before we do that, it's only right that it's been a sad week for Manx football with the loss of Sam Kenny. Callum, what are your memories of the man? Obviously, he was sort of, as you were starting out, he was probably still playing.
Yeah, I don't actually remember seeing him in play, but obviously, as you're coming through the ranks, you hear stories about the great players that that played and things. The only experiences I had really of Sam was when he managed St Mary's. There was actually two spells.
Yeah.
One when I was a bit younger, when the St George's team was sort of first coming through, and then the most recent one where they beat us in the FA Cup final. And also, we used to there's a local poker game, and we used to play poker. And it's quite I always tell people that he was like old school. You could you know, you'd be nearly having each other around the throat, you know, down the bowl, and then the next day I'd walk in to say where we're going to play poker, and we'd just give each other a look and laugh, yeah. And it would just be forgotten about, and we'd then talk about the game for hours. And he had a great outlook on life, and you know, he was a really good man. And as far as his playing days, obviously Lee Dixon was very close, and senior played with him, and they won the Grand Slam, and you just hear he was a really great player, fit as a fiddle. And it's a really, really sad loss for everyone, really. You can see by just all the messages on social media of what people thought about him, and it pops up a lot, is will to win, and you know, he'd stop at nothing to win. But then as soon as the game was finished, he was a gentleman.
Well, I think you've echoed quite a lot of the tributes that are in today's Manx Independence. Two pages, we've spoke to senior, as you say, Volkey, you know, legends of the game themselves, and they've all said that his will to win was matched on and off the pitch. But as you say, a thoroughly nice guy as well.
Really would go out of his way to help you. I mean, like, you know, as I said, on a Saturday, we'd be wanting to, you know, have each other around the throat, and then the next time I'd see him in town, he'd be helping me out, maybe a little bits of advice about my game, or even just life as well. You know, if you ever had any injury problems, you know, he's actually a good competitor, but he was also giving me advice on, you know, I've had issues with my knees and things like that, and how to go about maybe getting them better. And he just, he'd sort of go out his way to do anything for you, really.
That's great sentiments.
It is indeed. Where you, Wes, did you come across him at all?
Yeah, I did. I knew him fairly well, to be fair. Played a lot of poker with him, with Callum as well. And I like to talk a lot, you see, at the table, so there wasn't many people do. So
he was very competitive at poker as well. Like, if you beat him in a hand, he looked like he wanted to
you try and avoid him if you can, but he liked to talk as well, so that used to keep me going at the table when there was hours of not speaking. So, but he was a really nice guy, really nice guy.
And he knew his football, didn't he? And I have to say that he had success with every club he went to. That's probably quite rare.
Yeah, well, that's just his winning mentality. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people don't sort of like the hard training that comes with it. And I heard, you know, the reason is it actually ended at St Mary's was not because of what he was helping. He was helping the club. It was, I think, personally, the players didn't have it in them to be up to his level of wanting to win that bad,
right?
You know, and you know, luckily at St George's, you know, Bassi sort of has the same outlook, to do, you know, do whatever it takes to win and train really hard, and you know, luckily he's got the players to fit in with that, really.
Well, we're talking about St George's. You know, you're top of the tree, first team. We won 14 from 15, and this is despite being, you know, you're missing yourself, Kieran. Johnny's had injury problems this season.
Sam's
out as well. You must be delighted where you are.
We're really happy, actually. Obviously, we thought it would be a much, much closer than it is. We didn't really... I mean, we thought Peel would be the main danger. We knew St Mary's would have a decent team, but we didn't think they'd be doing as well as they are. we've just sort of we had games where I think the St Mary's game down the bowl, was Joey away and I think someone else. There was a few players away, yeah. And obviously that was my first game back from injury. I wasn't really supposed to come back so early, but we've just sort of done what we can and put out teams when we can, and games have mainly the top games have been closer. I did feel we were maybe looking at a few of the top games, and maybe the Corinthians game was coming, because they're a decent team. We've had hard games in the past against them, and with a few players missing, and obviously I think they it was mentioned on their podcast how they sort of all came together what happened with Louis and on the day it was enough to beat us, and for us it was a good kick up the
bum.
To get us going again, and we've had that in the past. And
you mentioned the will to win that Sammy had and the senior has, and most of the squad. Has that seen you through this tough period? This just determination that to keep.
Yeah, I mean, we've always had throughout the years. We've always had periods where we've had a lot of players injured, and you have certain players that are just able to win games on their own. Like Sequoia and Johnny and Bassey, and you know. Even if we are missing the spine, you know that if they turn up on a day, then we're gonna win the games. Like I'd also Furo. People were saying, why is he coming to St George's? He might not get in the team because of me and Pecco up front. But you know he didn't listen to that. He came. He worked hard. He's been training, and he's done really well for us, filling in. And I, to be honest with you, I felt like when I was coming back from injury, it's gonna be hard for me to break back in the team here, and it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
But obviously it's worked out quite well because me and Pekka have been, injured for the start of the season. But he's been banging them in, and Sam Kane's stepped up to the plate and been brilliant for us. So yeah.
Do you think the teams have to play a slightly different style of play?
We're also missing Conor Doyle. Conor Doyle was a massive
of course,
part.
Now he's in Dubai, isn't he? He's moved that
way. Oh, he's living the life now. Yeah. So we're missing him a lot, and we played the St Mary's game. Now normally down the ball we'd play quite like a passing game with Conor Doyle and Jack and things, but it was me and Fury up front, and our plan that day was to launch it and basically cause Alex and Carl problems, and then off the second ball Bassey and Sam would
come into it, yeah.
Yeah, come into the game, and it worked. I mean, to be fair, on St Mary's, the game was very close, and the three goals came from set pieces.
Yeah.
But that was our plan, and it worked a treat. And
yeah, I was down at that game. I mean, Hudson missed an early chance for them, could have made the whole game different, and then you got the goal, didn't you? And that basically settled you guys down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Hudson's never had much bottle, and he's probably not used to the big games.
So, would you say this has been the toughest spell? You said you've had hard spells in the past.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we had the time where Rushen won the league, and we had like about five, six players leave that year, but we still won the FA Cup. But that was another one. We couldn't step up to the plate for the whole season, hence why we finished fifth. But we still had the game winners, and that's why we won the FA Cup. This year, I'm just really shocked how we're 7 points ahead, because as far as some of the best teams we've had been putting out, it's probably not the strongest of teams to be 7 points clear. But it being, and also I'd just like to mention, it's been a very good opportunity to bring kids through.
We're going to come on to that, yeah. This is where Wes comes in, really. You've been blooding the kids in the combi, and they've been shining in the first team. I'm running out of hands to count the amount of kids that come in and scored on their first team debut, guys. So it must be nice that you're the one guy that they probably, when they come into the combi and you're playing to senior.
Yeah, 100%. Well, there's easily six or seven that can go straight into the first team and have done and scored on their first game. We went on the hunt, got a few good players in, 16, 17. Then you've got the juniors as well.
Yeah.
They're coming up as well. So a couple of them have gone straight through. You can't beat that, really, that sort of level. that they're learning that as well, you know.
Has it helped that they've played before together? You know, because
definitely, yeah, the junior team. I don't think they've ever played with anyone else.
Right,
they've been people, you know, 10-11-0 every year. So
it's just like seniors.
Seniors always been good at poaching players, but this year he poached the whole football team for under-17s. Is it? Under-16s.
Well, I was speaking to the man himself this week, obviously, to do a bit about Sam, and he was taking much. What's the word? He was taking much exception to a comment that was made on Max Radio Sport on Saturday night that that along those lines that they've never been able to produce youth. And he said you quoted to the likes of yourself and Judge.
I'll name them all now. I mean, if you actually look at our team, Pekka came through the kids, Judge came through the kids,
yeah.
Myers came through the kids, Sean Quay come through the kids. Who else can we talk about? I mean, people need to forget half of Jim's team was our youth team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players that have gone to St Mary's in the past, but people don't seem to mention all of that. They seem to only look at the negatives, I guess. But I suppose that comes with being
winning,
at the top,
yeah.
And winning. Trying to think who else came through the youth. I mean, we actually won the Combi League when Pekka and the lads come through. Gareth Gorn. Mark Connor,
yeah,
people like that were in the kids team, so we did have a good. It went through a period recently where we just haven't had a kids team, but hopefully this is the turnaround. And
well, we're going to say we've talked about it a lot in recent weeks, and I guess Gavin McGovern will speak to Wes about this. Combi squads are now becoming vital to the success of the first team. You know, it has been levelled at St George's in the past. You've had a scrum, maybe 14, 16 players, but beyond that, there's been a bit no depth. But now you seem to have that, guys.
Yeah, the combi squads aren't really what they used to be, I wouldn't say. You know, with these teams now, 16, 17, all pushing for the place in that first team, depending on how hard the individual wants to go,
yeah.
You know, wants to push. Well, being at St George's is the best, obviously, isn't it? They train the hardest. For me personally, I think the gap between your first and second's, you know, really quite large.
Right.
In terms of performance and, you know, how hard they train and putting it in really does make the difference, I reckon. So these lads coming in now, it's up to them how hard they want to push to. But if the potential's there 100%, you know, Calum's played a couple of games this year for the Combi and was played with the lads, had nothing but good things to say about them as well.
I think that on Wes's, he's actually quite. It's disappointing for him in the sense that the amount of injuries we've had in the first team, we've had to call on so many combi players.
Yeah.
That it's actually affected the combi results.
Yeah.
I feel the game I played where we actually had a bit of a full team, they would win that league easily.
You won 6-0, I think you scored. 6-0,
no, Crimpion's away.
Crimpion's
were decent.
You got a decent score.
Yeah, it was 2-0, but I missed about 7. Honestly, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But the team, the combi have got, if they had the full team, they'd win that league. It's just because we've had that many injuries, you're taking 3 or 4 of Wes's best players every week.
It's hard, you know, the first team comes first no matter what, really. But when they do take 3 or 4, it's hard to get that solid 11 every week and keep the momentum going when 4 come out and 4 come in. But as long as you have your 15, 16, you sort of get a rough idea. So this is all a bit of a learning curve for everyone, really.
But there must still be a feel good factor in the squad, knowing that they can go.
Yeah, well, last year there simply just wasn't a team with, you know, you know what I mean? There was not a team, really. This is a team that I believe 5, 6, 7 of these players will be the future St George's first team. You know, depending on, like I say, on how hard people want to work, when all the lads do drop out, eventually that will happen. These boys need to be there to come through. If there was no youth there, then the success of St George's will just drift away.
Well, I was going to say that.
Because
it's been levelled at you guys when your generation, Cal, decide that you've had enough, that St George's were going to drop off a cliff. But now you've got this progression almost. You know, you've got this raft of 16, 17-year-olds.
And the younger lot, as they're coming through. I mean, and the level these boys are at as well, it's quite high as well. Do you know, with everyone training together and the group, it's reaching a really good level for sure.
I mean, the only thing I'm noticing that people said about obviously us getting older and it might stop and teams will take over and things, but as far as fitness, we're 32. I think we can stay at a level of fitness for the next 6 years that's going to match any other team because we train harder.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that is going to stop us, and obviously it's happened with me recently, is injuries. Now, you know, I am finding it now. It's taking longer to come back from injuries and getting them more often than, you know, we used to. We used to just shrug them off and play. And I think that's the one thing that's going to stop us is injuries. Also, the other thing is we're all having kids and
commitments,
things now, and you know it's different commitments, holidays, going away, certain games, and Well, I mean, that's natural. But luckily, we've got these great young players coming through the combi. Very good players as well that are filling in and doing a job.
So you're predicting another 6 years of dominance?
Be honest, I hope when I'm retired that we've won everything Peel have won. I believe that's what we're going
to
do.
Well, again, I was speaking to Bassey earlier in the week, Bassey Senior, and he said that the league, this title this year, is what he wants more than anything, because that'd be seven.
Peel won six seven. In a row, and they won six Railway Cups in a row. So if we win the Railway Cup in the league, we've taken that record off them. And it will be me, Julian, Quay and Bassey's 12th league title. That's, I think, will be a record.
Wow.
I'll have to play a few more games because I might not be entitled to it. I think I've only played 3-4 games. So.
Well, Wes is probably thinking about it for Junior Cup at the moment. That's probably a realistic ambition. If you're saying this combi squad is as good as it is, you know, Junior Cup must be realistic.
Massively, yeah, we'll be taking that very seriously and be keeping the boys training and, you know, we'll be no doubt going. Yeah, when we're good, we're really good. Like you say, it's just getting that balance of the team right and having them players more... Having that first team more, you know, group and the second group more solid rather than trying to keep drifting around, you know. But that'll come, obviously. These players have just came at the start of the season, so they need time to just, you know, get involved with each other and have time to.
We've obviously seen a few new names on the score sheet for the first team recently. Is there anyone else that you're tipping to make the breakthrough that hasn't already?
Jake Garvey.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think he will be the next player to go through. Cameron Kay is very impressive.
I saw him against St Mary's, he scored in that game, I think, didn't he? He came off the bench and scored within about 5 minutes.
Jake Garvey. It's all, you know, like Conor Hislop was involved earlier on, Conor Prescott was involved. We've got Vlad Malley, Freestone, who played for the, he's just in the coming minute, he's been out in and out of injuries as well. Callum Chiapelli, you know, all these boys play together.
Obviously, Joe Quells.
Yeah, Joe's in the first team.
Joe's played a lot of first team, and he was brilliant.
I didn't have a chance to. I think he played one game at the start of the season, but then he was taken.
He was Charity Shield. He shone in that match, really, and which was, you know, I have to say, Cal was a bit of poor performance from the first team, but he shone out that year, that day, and he's not looked back since, has he?
Yeah, he's played. He's a tough kid as well. Like, he, you know, at St George's we're very, as I say, very competitive, and we shout each other a bit, and sometimes you get the young kids, they can't take that, but he does take it, and he's had, I think he had, he won't mind me saying this, but he had quite a poor game against Corinthians, and a few of the lads said it to him, and but instead of sulking about it and whatever, he come back the next week, we played St Mary's down the ball, he played centre mid, and he was absolutely brilliant, like, probably our best player on the day, I think I said. That's a good little trait that he's got, and at such a young age, he's first team player now, he's, you know, unfortunately.
He's an athlete as well, though, to be fair to him, so he deserves to be given the shot, for sure.
And you train the first team and the combi training together?
The kids team can come and train with us, and they come up the hall and they go for a run beforehand.
It's a good mix, though. Everything working together is decent for everyone, I think. At times, the first team lads want to be doing their own thing because with the difference between the two and three. But definitely, it's good for everyone to be together. And the level that the senior lads are just bringing up.
Yeah,
the little fact, you know, they're just learning so much so fast as well.
And a management point of view, it must be nice learning off Bassey and Molly. You can't.
Well, we just sort of follow what he does, really. And when we do have the senior lads come down and in and out, they help a lot more as well, because Johnny Fee helps me out as well. Me and Johnny Fee do together, and you know, it's just all learning as well, isn't it? And with a new bunch of players as well, but then knowing who you have every weekend as well, you know, you can be trying to organise late as well, stuff. So yeah, it's good learning from the best, for sure, definitely.
We talked about the players retirement. Do you think Bassey will ever step down, Carl?
No, he loves it too much. I think he'd be turning up till he can't walk. He loves football too much. It's part of his life. You know, he never shuts up about it. He's just football. But there's no reason for him to quit, is there?
You know,
he loves it. I don't know if maybe when Chris gets to his age, he might. You know, tell Chris his dad to do one, and he might take over. But
predator of football role, maybe.
Yeah. But I think he has the same feelings with me, as in we want to try and beat
emulate yeah. what Peel did back in the day.
Well, yeah, he's definitely got unfinished business anyway.
What he always says is he wants to set a record that can never be broken. Because yeah. if you talk about the seven Railway Cups as it might be, he said, you know, people teams might win three but in a row, but that he wants yeah. it that bar.
No, that's what I mean. It's like he said to me about the leagues. He said, you know, me bashing that I've won the 12 this year, you know, why not try and win like 15, 16, and then no one's ever beaten that, because no. that's 16 years of training hard, and then you've got years in between that where you might not win, you might not have a good team that we've had. So you're talking 20 years of commitment you're going to have to give to break the records, and that's obviously what he's going for. I mean, I want it as well, but as far as, you don't know what's going to happen in life, do you? I mean, obviously with my injuries, you might get an injury that you're never going to come back from, and that's all you've got to do is just keep playing, basically. I mean, I've had, that was actually a piece of advice Sam gave me one time. I said that I was thinking of packing it in because I was having issues with my knees, and he said, like, definitely don't, just play as long as you can, because if you stop now and you try and come back in 3 or 4 years, you've got no chance.
Do you think you'll be a manager one day?
No chance. When I retire, it will be to the Manxy every Saturday afternoon.
You heard it here first. Right, we've had so many Twitter questions for you two guys this week, so we better get on with them without further ado. Sean Doyle, who was coursing with Josh Ridings the other week with the Corinthians podcast, he asked a question. I believe you shared a room with him, Cal.
Yeah, it was him and Mac Reese. Probably the tiredest room I've ever had. Obviously, they're young lads, and I've got two kids, so I'm up at like 6:30, 7 o'clock, and them boys just wanted to lie in till lunchtime virtually. So what I'd do every morning was it was around the time when the running man, the little dancers on. So every morning I used to wake up and just put that full, like, really loud, and jump on the beds and do the running man. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Question for you, Wes, coming from Luke Gibson. What's your favourite Instagram filter for a selfie?
It's a tough one, I've got to be honest. I like that, Gibby.
Clarendon, is that the second one that's quite nice?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say, just so he doesn't have to worry, I'm going to have to say lo-fi.
Oh, lo-fi, yeah. the slightly black edges. Good choice, Wes, good choice.
Stops getting the wrinkles out as well.
Another question for you, Wes, from Alex Harrison. This is 2 weeks running. Alex has asked about other people's hair. He's got a bit of sex.
Because he's losing his.
How much does the perm cost a week, and do you have a weekly deal with Anne?
Unfortunately, as much as people do think I do have a perm, I do have naturally curly hair. So no, to answer your question, Alex, I do not.
Michael Joseph's written in. Callum, tell us about your strict dietary regimen, and how important is midweek sleep to your top weekend performances?
I think he's trying to be funnier, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, anyone that follows you on Twitter will know that Guinness seems to be the main staple of your diet these days.
Yeah, well, someone told me, obviously, about the iron.
Yeah.
And, you know, the carbs and things. So it's... No, I wouldn't drink the night before a game, but... I do like a Guinness, I guess. And as far as food goes...
Sausage Paps?
I've got to give a big shout out to Newsbeat, because he might give me some free food. But, normally, I'm a Newsbeat man.
Well, to be fair, though, before your injury, you were in the gym and hitting it hard, weren't you?
Oh, I wasn't, yeah. I haven't been for a couple of months. I'm just getting my winter coat on at the moment. So, let myself go.
We're talking of food, Joe Andrews, Wes wants to know, would you, this again, Joe Andrews, applaud you. Your questions every week are pretty stellar, aren't they?
Yeah.
He wants to know, would you rather eat a chocolate hobnob in a rocket ship or on a submarine? And I don't know why.
Although they're both unbelievably rare.
Yeah.
I'd have to say rocket ship.
Okay, any particular reason why?
Because it's a turbo.
Oh.
Turbo, I need to get that way.
Frank Jones to Callum, explain the feeling of lobbing Peel's keeper in the 94th minute to win the Grand Slam.
It was a nice feeling. I mean, I do have I do enjoy lobbing keepers actually.
It's from the halfway line.
Yeah, from the halfway. Yeah.
You haven't forgiven Hattie for missing the start of that.
Oh, unbelievable! I could have won that Budweiser. Well, you can still. He did get a bit of it on camera, but not the full goal. As far as what Frank's talking about, we'd obviously tried for so long to our main thing was the Grand Slam, and we'd gone so many years and we'd messed up. We played Douglas Rule for the last game of the season for the Grand Slam, lost, and it was that whole year had been. I mean, we were 3-0 down in the FA Cup to Union Mills. We came back, won that, and it just really felt like it was our year. And we played Peel in the final, and we were 1-0 up and quite comfortably. And we probably should have been about 4 or 5 nil up, and then suddenly Lee Gale scores one of the best free kicks I've ever seen down there. They're 2-1 up, and there's the 94th minute one was actually the Johnny Myers scored a header to make it 2-0. Mm. And then I think it was like 97th. But yeah, you know, we'd gone from the feeling was you're in the 94th minute, you're 2-1 down, you've lost the Grand Slam again. That's what was in our heads. Yeah. We thought, oh no, not again. You know, we're going to be a laughing stock and whatever. Then Johnny pulls it 2-0, and you're thinking, oh, we'll get it to extra time and we'll beat them in extra time. And then the ball went over the top, and I had a 50-50 with the goalkeeper. And to be honest with you, I was never backing out of that. I was going through about, you know, I would have gone through 10 people to score that goal. And it was just, you know, you're talking like 5-6 years of hard work to try and win the Grand Slam was in that one moment. And when the ball went in the net, I've never felt anything like it. I mean, I've had a few goals. You know, I scored the last minute for the England representative team in Czech Republic. That was a last minute goal. That was up there. But as far as like just playing sort of club football on the Isle of Man, that was a very good feeling. And I think we went on a 2-day bender.
I'm surprised you can remember so much detail after 2 days.
You mentioned Hattie. Well, Hitman has tweeted, from a playing perspective, how does playing for the Isle of Man representative side compare or differ to Ellen Benham?
There's a few differences actually. I would say you do. There's different types of playing for the Ellen Van and the Isle of Man rep team. As far as you don't, I personally think you don't feel like you're playing for your country when you're playing teams like Teesside.
Yeah.
You know, Manchester. You feel like you're playing for your county.
Yeah.
You know, I've played county football as well when I was back in London, and when the Ellen Vannon thing came on, you're travelling to teams in Europe, you're playing against people that, you know, you're playing a team that's full of people speaking French, and it feels more international. The level's definitely better than the Inter-League tournament. Now,
where does the Ireland Games fit into it?
This is what I was about to say. But where it is similar when you play for the Isle of Man rep team is when you go to the Ireland Games, you definitely feel like you're playing for your country. So I would say that when I've played in Ireland Games in the past, that does feel. I mean, you do the national anthem beforehand, and I think Malcolm had seen. Had been to Ireland Games and seen that, but he wanted that to be like a permanent thing. That's all we play in, that type of thing. Yeah. Playing against Jersey, playing against Guernsey all the time, playing against, you know, and the Khenifa thing was probably the only route we could go down. And some of the trips we've had out of that are unbelievable. Sweden was probably one of the best trips we've ever been on. And I think where all the sort of arguments and things that come in is like, I mean, if you ask any lad that went to Sweden, the standard was brilliant. But then you have certain people commenting saying, oh, the standard's crap. Sorry, the standard's not very good. Things like that. Now, ask any player that went on it. You know, the problem is the players play for both.
Yeah.
So you can't be 1 minute putting them down and then the next minute saying how great they were when they played Teesside. You know what I mean? You can't. But I will say that the tournament... the England Inter-Schools tournament has obviously given me some good memories as well, as far as if you win it, you have to win it, because then you represent England and you get financial help, you get to go to different places. I mean, we went to San Marino, Czech Republic, you know, and they are brilliant trips.
Would you say that's the highest standard we've played, the UEFA regions, or how does that compare to the Khenifa World Cup?
the CONEFA World Cup had probably the top eight teams in that were about the standard of when you go and represent England, I'd say.
Yeah.
When you play like the German amateur team and things like that.
Yeah.
Probably a similar standard to that.
Okay.
The CONEFA tournament, though, is miles better than, say, the Interleague.
Yeah.
I mean, that Interleague, we should win it every year.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in a cup competition, that shouldn't happen. I mean, we lost the last one because the pitch was shocking and, you know... and like the Ireland Games is a difficult one because it's the same, it's top, it's like at the top, so you've got your Jerseys, Guernseys, you're talking like there's a good standard, but then you've got teams in it that aren't very good, that you're going to win like 8-0, 9-0, so, but I think, I still just don't understand why they don't work together, because I know that Malcolm actually wants them to play in these tournaments as well, so why not just have one team that does all the tournaments? You know, I don't get it. Well,
that's what Liam Doyle, who we had in a couple of weeks ago, tweeted in similarly what he asked you and what you think of the FA and what we should do next, and you know, what would you, your plan be? Would you say go to your, like you said, try and go for your UEFA? Would you try and do what Guernsey FC have done, put a team in the non-league? Or
I think I would have one team, so you could have Hurty managing the one team, and why not go in the CONEFA tournaments for now? Get rid of the interleague thing, you know, just playing, because playing the CONEFA one, playing the Ireland games, things like that. Why not go by ourselves? That, I mean, that's, I just don't understand why we can't go by ourselves. Now, the one topic that comes up is funding.
Yeah.
Now, they get funding off the English FA. That's however much it is. Yeah. I don't really want to say numbers because I'll get proved wrong. But they get a certain amount, and all I know is if we went and we did what Jersey are doing, I think Jersey's doing it now. What
Jersey
trying to do it. They're going through the courts. But they're basically doing the same as what Gibraltar did.
Yeah.
If we went down that road, I know for a fact that we'd get miles more funding than we are getting now.
Yeah.
You know, so why not do it? Then now the thing is, it is a risk, but to achieve anything in life and to achieve the high points, you've got to take risks.
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't work out, why not then just get back on the phone to the English FA and say, oh, we, tails between our legs, could we have funding again? You know, but why continue to do what we're doing? Because I just can't see what kids have to look up to now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if there's a kid coming through, what are they, why do they want to play for the Isle of Man? You've got to have a reason. You've got to have, I mean, if a young, say, Joe Quayle gets in the Isle of Man senior team, is there going to be any scouts at the game? The answer is no. There's not. When we go away and we play, I keep saying Teesside, but, you know, one of them teams, there's two men and his dog. You know, there's not going to be scouts. There's no opportunity. We need to be playing games. The Isle of Man national team needs to play in games where there's going to be scouts and there's going to be people watching our young, because it should be about, that's what it should be about. It shouldn't really be about the sort of 32-year-olds like myself and that playing in it. We should be getting, it should be a way to get players playing professional football.
And Wes, what do you think? Would you echo Cal's?
100%, yeah, definitely. They need backing though. And if the lads are going away and playing out of skin and they've got really high potential and there's no one there to spot it, what sort of waste is that? I mean, there's obviously a lot of players that have made it pro that probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, and if these lads aren't getting the opportunity and people aren't going to spot them, even give them the opportunity at all, then
you can't
just stay at the same level all your life. You know, if you're punching above your weight, or you're actually, you know, better than the level you're playing at, you need to be going for, you know,
trying
going forward. You're not putting just sitting
you need
there.
To be tested. And an example of that is Dan Hattersley.
Yeah.
Liam Doyle. Is there anyone else that's away?
Niall
couldn't get in it. Niall, when I was in the senior squad, when Niall was back, Niall was sub. Now he's away, and it's because you're consistently playing at a high level. You're getting tested week in, week out. Now, let's be honest, the St George's players now, we're not getting tested every week, are we? No, no disrespect to the other teams, but you need to be where you're, say, losing 1-0 every game. That's going to make you better. You're not going to get better winning 5-6-0. And that's why
it's not enjoyable for.
That's why Liam Doyle. I mean, Liam Doyle left here about 16 stone, and now he's about 12 stone. He's probably one of the best players in the Isle of Man now because of his training, and it's because he's tested week in, week out, and he's training hard, And I'm afraid if unless you're playing at a higher standard, you're just not going to get better.
Yeah, you're never going to find out how good you actually are. Okay. You know, unless you're pushed to the full limit to find out how good you really are.
I mean, it happened when I went down to Wimbledon. When I went down to the Wimbledon, yeah. I felt I was at the fittest I could be in the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
I went down there and he said to me, you know, obviously they offered me a contract, but he said, you're the unfittest trialist we've ever had.
Wow.
And that's me being fit over here, feeling like I'm, you know. And he said, like, if we needed, say, 3-4 months of working hard with you, we'd have you up to our level of fitness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just shows you can't. That's why, that's the problem. When an Isle of Man goes away and they play a team, we'll get beat, say, 3-0 against probably a team that's not got better players than us. It's just because they're fitter than us.
Yeah.
You know.
And then that goes down to the level like Geordie's at now. With the lesser teams, the fitness levels Geordie's are at.
Yeah.
Just see, like, last 20 minutes of games, they could have put a fight up, whatever, you know.
Last
20 minutes, whatever. They just run over teams terribly then.
Do you see teams trying to match the Geordie standards, though?
Well, everyone wants to be Geordie's, don't they? So they'll do whatever it takes, but sometimes you just, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Like you say, the fitness is. You just the class of players as well. Yeah, but the fitness levels are.
You can't put that in people. You can't have like I'll give you. There's a young lad at the moment, Dean Pinnerton, who's been going away and things, and he actually came training with us, doing runs last year, and you can just tell he has got it in him because when everyone's suffering, he doesn't drop out. He keeps pushing himself, and we've had players that signed for Geordies in the past that have left a year later because they just don't have it in them to. Yeah. And the problem is you can't actually coach that. You can't, you know, you can have the greatest player in the world and ability-wise, but if they don't have the will to win and they don't have it in them to train hard, you're never going to get a top player, really.
Well, you mentioned a bit being pushed. Would you say it would be advantageous to whatever representative side we had if the FA broke the leagues into three? So you had tougher games every week?
Well, that would help. That would definitely help have tougher games every week. And there would be, you know, your likes of, you know, Ashley Webster scoring 11 against there. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Three leagues could be a good one and play each other, as you say, four times in the year. And yeah, definitely.
I'd have an elite league.
Yeah,
because then there's something to push for. Like you've got say, I don't know who's mid table at the moment.
There's loads. There's about 5 points separating.
Yeah.
Say you've got your likes of say Corinthians. Well, yeah. No, Corinthians. I say would be in the top of the top.
St John's,
Laxey.
You know, they would be either trying to stop relegation, so they'd be fighting. And then when they get relegated that year, they're then fighting to win the Division Two, and you get the same at the third division. I think it would be good for the league because the gap at the moment it's just too big.
No, who's to say that these teams already haven't got their players there to be competing? It's not that. Maybe it's the way they train. Maybe you know it might not be the way the players are themselves. It could be the training methods as well.
Yeah.
Are they putting it in as hot enough to compete?
Well, we're coming to more important matters now. The last.
Oh question. Yeah,
our favourite.
We've digressed. Go on.
Favourite Chinese takeaway.
In the Isle of Man.
Me firstly.
Yeah.
Mine used to be the Magic Wok, but I've now converted. So I've just got to be honest here, because my girlfriend's family, the K family, Cameron, have converted me to the Imperial Dragon.
Oh, right.
Is that first for the Imperial Dragon?
No, Mick Hegarty.
Yeah.
St George's legend.
So I've just got to be honest, I would say Magic Box, I grew up next to it, but no, Imperial Dragon for me.
Cal?
Mine's more of a, I get forced to go to this one. So I don't really, my missus is a vegetarian.
Right.
So she finds it very difficult to find, you know, a Chinese that does a decent, decent food for a vegetarian. So I go to the one in Governor's Hill.
Right.
More to please her, really. I'm not really bothered. I think different Chinese do different different meals better than others. So it just depends what you want that night.
Can I quickly just say James McStay?
Yeah.
Scored 5-2 this year.
You rang him before.
Yeah, just 5-2, and then done a disappearing act. So.
He's injured at the moment, isn't he?
Oh, he's injured most times. I think it's just being tired.
But 5-2, and they weren't half bad, to be fair. So we better let him have that.
Yeah, he won't get any better than that.
All right, James, thanks for ringing in. Right, before we go on to look ahead to this weekend's fixtures, including the two big Railway Cup semi-finals, I caught up with Alex Harrison after last week's draw with 3-3 draw with Peel. He was in good form. He was looking ahead to this week's game, which is of course the first meeting between St Mary's and Corinthians.
Is that the player of the week, Alex Harrison, you're talking about that?
No, he's not. I think he's player of the week. He's
no, sorry, player of the month.
Oh no, he's August and September.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah.
We thought he might be having an affair with someone the newspaper used to say.
Why's Dave got a comrade?
I was going to say, confirm it's not me. But yes, we'll have a chat with Alex now and see what he has to say after Saturday's game.
Cracking game, that must feel like a win.
Kind of, yeah. I thought towards the end of the game we were pressing really hard and could have got the goal, but obviously missed a penalty as well. But yeah, it feels like a bit of a loss, to be honest, yeah.
You're a bit slow starting first half. You obviously were down a couple of goals, but you came back well in the second half.
Yeah, I don't think we necessarily started slow. I thought we had a good first 10 minutes, but the first goal, what was it? I can't remember what it was.
First. That's two of us.
Yeah, well, I think it's three kind of set pieces again.
Yeah.
So we've had a problem all season with that, so I think we have to work on that still, but I think we're getting better at it. But I think we started particularly well. I thought it was going to run a play, the first goal.
Was it important to get some points out today after a couple of drop points in the last recent weeks?
Yeah, well, yeah, tough game last week. I think, credit to Laxey, they've been arguably the best team we've played, Boston George, this year. So, you know, it was a tough game, tight game. But yeah, it was. We needed to get some points back on the board, but we kind of, using this as a, we played a different system.
Yeah.
As a tester for next week, I think we've done all right. Still a bit to learn, but I thought we'd done okay.
And looking ahead to next week, obviously Railway Cup semi-final against Corinthians. You haven't played each other at all this season because of various reasons. So, be a good game.
Yeah, big game. I don't even know what to expect. I know they've got some good players. Chris Cannell, excellent player, probably one of the most underrated players in the Isle of Man, in my opinion. So yeah, they've got some good players. Steve Whitley. So yeah, it should be a good game.
I'll let you go and warm up. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Nice.
Right, chaps, it's Railway Cup semi-final weekend, that wonderful time of year. We've got to start with down at Colby, haven't we? Callum, Peel, St George's, the old rivalry has its latest instalment.
How? Just out of curiosity, how comes the game's down Colby? I thought, would Peel not be playing at their ground?
No, you probably know this already, Callum, that Peel's ground's out of action.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, so, they put glass on instead of sand on the pitch. Right.
I believe, just to clarify, the glass was already in the sand.
So
was it cheap sand?
I can't comment. No, yeah. I'm not a
stand. All right, so yeah, it's down Colby.
Yeah, so it's down Colby, their new home. Confident ahead of the weekend?
Obviously, I think we would have preferred it down the ball or at our pitch because I think it will level the game a bit. Mm. But I think Peel have come back to a bit of form lately. I think it depends who plays for them.
Yeah.
If Ash is fit or if Lee Gale comes back and plays, and you know, I think if they have their full team out, it'd be a tough game because we're missing quite a few players with injury. I know Furo's out now. Pekka's out. I played 20 minutes last week, so I've probably got a good 25 in me.
Impact player.
But I think it'll be a very close game, and that game might come down to set pieces. Right. And obviously it depends on the weather. I mean, down there, if it's windy, it's going to be a nightmare.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I think it will be close. But obviously I'm going to go for St George as well.
And I saw you dressed Frank Jones up in a Peel kit for his stag do a few couple of
years
ago.
Yeah, well, I actually had a nightmare. I didn't actually make it the full way. I flew down to London with them, and then I got like the neurovirus off my kids. And so I ended up staying in a hotel room in London for the weekend. and flew back. I mean, I'll get money back on the insurance, but so I actually missed the stag do.
It's probably just as well because you might not have made it back out of it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I actually felt better. Yeah.
Is Dicko recovered from falling off the chair yet?
Oh, I've seen the way he kicked the chair. Yeah, there's not too many stories. We try to.
I have to ask, why was Frank in a scrum cap, a la Peter Cech?
What's that? I didn't.
So there's a bit. You've seen the picture of him. He's dressed in the Terry's taxi. He's got his scrum cap on.
Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah, so I wondered if there was some sort of in joke where rugby
No, I don't know.
Maybe he banged his head.
We might have banged his head.
Yeah, to be honest, we try not to. We avoid talking about stag dudes. They're once you come back, that's it. Yeah.
Happens in Benidorm stage.
What's that saying they say about Ibiza?
Yeah, good guys go to Ibiza. Bad guys go to Benidorm.
I think that was clarified. Yeah,
it's a decent place to be fair.
Good as well,
karaoke in Auburn.
So back to Peel Geordies. Bassi was very keen to say that you weren't overwhelming favourites as well on the phone this week, but it's probably because of the reason you've discussed, missing a few
just players. Injuries. I think if we have a full strength team, I think we win quite comfortably, but with
extra time?
With injuries and no, not extra time.
No.
If he brings in a couple of younger lads as well, it's how they, if they do get a chance, how they adapt to being at, you know, at that.
Because it'll be a tough game. I mean, especially down there, it's going to be a kick. I hope there's a very good ref. I don't know who the ref is, but. I do. I think it might be Lodgy.
Oh, okay.
He lets quite a lot go, so it could be.
Well, that game needs that. It needs to be flowing. It's not going to be too much.
But I'd say, I think it would be a very close game.
I went to the Geordies Peel game at Glen Crutchery a few weeks back, and that was a close one. That was only 1-0 in the end.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was Führer, I think, scored the winner.
Yeah, to be fair, both teams that day, both teams had very, very weak teams out. It wasn't just like we were obviously missing quite a lot, but I know Peel were missing a fair few. I think Ashley Webster came on. Yeah, he didn't look right. He'd
been ill in the build up to the match.
It'd be a close one.
Yeah, I actually watched that game with you, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was tight. But it was a good finish from Führer, to be fair.
Yeah, so it was brilliant goal.
It was.
So talking of tight games, the other one looks particularly tight as well. St Mary's Corinthians, first time these two have met this season because obviously the league games have been postponed. Calling a winner could be tough in this one.
Yeah, I do. If I wasn't involved, obviously, with the other one, that'd be the game I'd go to. I think our game will be a very scrappy game. I think that one will. Where is it at?
At the bowl.
At the bowl. Yeah, I think that will be a brilliant game to go and watch for the neutral. It's funny. I just, for both teams, it depends which team turns up out of them. Like, it depends which St Mary's team turns up, and it depends which Corinthians team turns up. Hopefully, for the neutral, both teams, you know, turn up on fire and you'll get a great game, because I think you could end up with like a 3-3 or a 4-4.
Yeah, I mean, Corinthians are in good form, obviously, but they were pushed hard by Ramsey last week.
I think they were missing a couple as well last week, to be fair, Corinthians. Yeah. But St Mary's have had a bit of dropped a few points in recent weeks as well. So
I mean, the other one, I don't know if Hodgie's still sulking.
Hodgie played on Saturday.
Oh, did he play? So they've obviously, him and Steeder have made up.
Callum continuing to stir the pot here.
I'll get a phone call for you later. He knows I'm only messing.
Yeah. Well, we had a vote online, didn't we, Dave? We had 100 plus votes, and I think the two favourites were Corinthians and St George's. So
yeah, I actually, that was the one I voted.
And how would you like them on a bit of a revenge on Boxing?
Yeah, I think we need to. I think I'm going to call it now. What's going to happen if we both win? Because I'm quite good at predicting these things, right? So
missed it, Cal.
So Corinthians will win tomorrow. We'll beat Peel. It will go to the final. They get all, you know, hyper about it and think, oh my God, we're in a final, and turn up probably an hour and a half before kickoff. Take about an hour warming up, and we'll give it to them on Boxing Day.
You heard it here first.
Yeah,
I want you to play this back.
over the PA system at the bowl. Yeah, I'm sure we can arrange that. Wes, any thoughts on that game, St Mary's Corinthians?
Yeah, like Calum said, depends what two teams turn up. St Mary's are doing really well. I know a few lads down there as well. They've got a good team this year, for sure. Especially with Alex as well.
Yeah.
100%. But like you said, depends who turns up. But I think St Mary's will beat them.
Okay.
In my opinion. And it'll be St Mary's Geordies final.
Well, All Saints Day on Boxing Day, something to look forward to.
I'll be honest as well, I know that it's Alexis Harrison's work due on is it tomorrow night, so that's why I've gone for Corinthians.
That's inside information. Yeah, surely Johnny will be involved.
But Johnny does it every week, so he's used to it.
Johnny will be in bed by 10.
Johnny's used to sinking 20 and playing all
right.
So.
Right, before we look ahead to this week's league games, here's a word from our beloved sponsor.
Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Go to DraftKings.co.uk/Manx now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of £150. That's DraftKings.co.uk/Manx to play free.
Right, Candlelight Premier League boys, there's two games this week, both at the bottom of the table. Probably a position you're not particularly familiar with, Callum. Have you ever had a team? What was that?
Yeah, I before I signed for St George's, I played for an all boys team. Me and Popeye.
Yeah.
Up front. That's how long ago it was. That was when I was about 15, 16, and we survived relegation by 2 points, and St George's survived relegation by 1 point.
Wow.
And because people always say to me, you're a glory hunter when I went to St George's, but St George's actually finished 1 point off relegation, and I went to them from Old Boys. But yeah, that was a year where we were just picking up draws and just wanted to survive, and it was quite an enjoyable year actually.
Well, this week it's Douglas Athletic versus Colby. We said it the other week, we had the Douglas Athletic boys in last week, obviously you weren't here Dave, but they're within touching distance.
Yeah, pretty much safe now, you can't see them going down, can you?
Colby still looking for points to put them a bit of distance between themselves and the deducted Union Mills, as it were.
Yes, and of course, yeah, I mean, you fancy Athletic to win that. I was at the reverse fixture at the Station Fields and could have gone either way. I think Colby hit the woodwork late on and then when it was still 0-0. And then Athletic just went up the other end of the scored straight away.
But you played Athletic last week, boys. You did, Cal. I think your game
was off. Frozen. It was like an ice rink.
What do you think of them? Are they done well in their first season?
Yeah, they've got a few decent players in there. I think
they're very well. They seem to go over 4-5-1, keep it compact in the middle. And
yeah, I think I said last week. Popeye, the amount of moaning he does. I mean, I can't really talk.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you know, I mean, like, he's too busy arguing about a throw-in that happened about 20 minutes ago than worrying about the fact that, you know, that their back four is maybe not set up right. But obviously, they've got quite good players playing for them. I haven't seen Colby play, so I wouldn't know. But I'm going to go for Douglas Athletic to beat Colby.
Wes, and have you played the Colby combi?
We beat them twice. Right. Yeah, we beat them. We lost two games.
So you're going with the Pigs then?
Yeah. I will go for Douglas Athletic.
Yeah, fair dues. The other game sees Laxey versus Ayr, rock bottom on -3 points. Their goal difference is just a horror story to look at, really, isn't it? Against the Laxey team, who've come into a bit of form, hammered Mills 8-0 last week. And you'd favour a home win in this one, wouldn't you, chaps?
I think it's good that the Ayr is still showing up with the team, because in all honesty, I don't think I could turn up every week and so fair play to them to keep turning the team out and keep the club going. Laxey, yeah, I think that's going to be 10-12-0.
To be fair though, I mean, Ayr put up a good fight against Old Boys, didn't they?
It's 4-2. So if they put it in, they might be able to concede a few.
They seem to be able to score. It's just stopping at the other end.
A few issues down there with players.
Yeah,
so they couldn't feel the combination side. Yeah, first game of the season was called off.
Yeah. Division 2, massive game at the top of Division 2 this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I built it as a potential title decider, Braddon v Castletown. Now, I know Royal are obviously leading the way at the moment, but yeah, these two are the sides you think will be fighting out at the end of the season.
Reverse fixture was 11-1, but that didn't tell half the story, really, did it?
Yeah, Hattie was down there. I think Castletown went 1-0 up, and then
broke loose.
Yeah, player got sent off and then 11 goals went in. So, yeah, I think Castletown obviously want revenge. Going to be tough though. I still fancy Braddon to just about edge this, but it's going to be.
I think I might have seen the highlights of. Hattie was down there in his video because I've seen. Yeah, I think did Andy Glover score a few and miss a few penalties?
Something like that.
I always think, right, every week I watch Andy Glover and he's always taking penalties for them, but I've seen he's missed about 8 out of 9, hasn't he?
He's
missed a couple. I don't know if it's that.
But
many,
to be fair, he's winning the boot.
Yeah, he's got
37.
Yeah, in my opinion, he's probably too good for that league.
Yeah,
he's
he said the other week on the podcast, that's it. After this season, even if they go up, he's not coming up.
Well, yeah, but that's because he doesn't want to get tested. He'll probably go back down and try and win the silver boot again.
Harsh words from Callum today.
No, it's not harsh words. I think he is just too good for that league. I think it's and that's why he's winning the silver boot. But I think he should come up and challenge himself a bit. And
so your advice was, as you said before, don't retire too early, isn't it?
Because he will regret it.
It's the last thing you want to do is retire, and then 2 years down the line, you want to come back and your fitness is gone, and you've just what could have been.
Castletown, nice to see them back in the Premier League. There was always the nice stadium and stuff. What's it like playing down there? Usually good crowd.
I haven't played it since it's been built, actually, so I haven't seen it. But I know they've obviously had a lot of problems, didn't they?
Went back to scratch, really.
Yeah, and getting players and things together. So they've done well to keep the club together. Just like Ayr, I guess, because obviously they're quite a big club in the history of sort of Manx football. So it's good that. But obviously, I think Andy. Up front for Braddon's probably a massive difference, and I think they'll probably score about 3 or 4 tomorrow.
So they've got Conor Dempsey there as well, and you've played.
Oh, is he playing? He's probably too good for that league as well. Yeah. So I think both of them will probably get a hat trick each tomorrow, and then Andy would be on the Twitter abusing me.
they're obviously well organised all around the park, right. Really, aren't they?
Yeah, I think, I'm going to go with a draw in this. I think Castletown, Alex Crawley's a decent player up front for him, he scored a lot of goals. I think Braddon have had a bit of a. They've won the last two, but before that, they dropped a few points. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm going to go for a draw.
It's going to be tight.
Yeah. Douglas Royal, the new league leaders on it at the moment.
Yes, they're point clear at the moment.
Youthy, Aaron Quinn's revolution, quietly cracking on apace at Bella Fletcher. But they've got some very experienced heads in that side. You've probably played with half of them, Cal, John Quirk, and a few other. Ando.
Yeah. Well, half of them. We're actually pretty good players. I mean, some of them might have played in that team that beat us.
The Royal.
Yeah, I don't know if there's some still playing, but they've got decent players. They're just
Stuart Foley was probably playing. He's been around forever. Club man like yourself.
Yeah, I think they'll win that game. Right. I'm going to go for them a home win.
Yeah.
I think Youthy are a good side in their day, but they're just inconsistent. So I think Royal.
Are they a bit? Which players can be bothered turning up on?
I don't know. I think they've got on paper they've got a good squad, but they've struggled as maybe with injuries. If you don't have the same squad every week, it's hard to grind out results.
Yeah, so you see some of the score lines and results, and you just think how 1 week you can. You can win, beat someone 3-0 next week again.
Who's recovering that game? Is it Raj? That competitor of yours.
Oh, Raj.
Rashid. Agent Rashid.
Close enough. Won't be signing you up. Agent Rashid, I think he might be in the combi for you at the moment. So a player agent, I think he is. Malou Foxdale. Foxdale needs to start wins again if they're going to climb back up towards those promotion spots.
Yeah, I think they're now about 5 points adrift now. They're getting in danger of being cut loose a little bit.
Well, they had a great start, didn't they? Yeah. So what's happened to them? They just dropped off the pace a bit now.
A little bit.
Aren't they like pretty much Peel's combi?
A lot of them move for Michael, actually. It's more
oh, Michael as well. Yeah, because they got a big... Big,
Aaron Kistain obviously played for Peel Combi.
Right.
Jay Chatwood was at Michael. Kev Pullman of Moran and Michael.
Because I heard the story that Peel obviously when they got a lot of players in from different clubs to try and sort of knock us off the top spot, they made a lot of sort of Peel people from Peel regulars unhappy, and that's why a lot of them left. Players were getting played that weren't going to training, and then there was lads that had been at Peel the whole life were getting dropped, and I heard I might be wrong, but that's why a lot of them left and went to Foxdale. And
Michael, but as Woodsy was saying to you the other week, how many Peel lads were in the first 11 last week? They seem to have
gone back
to basics.
Yeah, I think it was 10 against Corinthians. They basically, I think it was only Don McGreevy, I think, that was... Not one of their recent signings. Ryan Holdaway's back in the team.
Rhino.
Well, that's good to see.
They've gone back to the future, as it were. Douglas and District, Jims. You're saying St George's, parent club, feeder club? Or, that you've had?
Well, we put Pecker out on loan for about 4 years one time. But a lot of them were ex. Who are they playing, sorry?
D&D. Douglas and District.
Oh right, yeah. So I'll go for them for a
I'll go Douglas and District because I know a few lads down there, so yeah.
Where are they actually in the league, Jims, then?
Jims are about six.
Sixth or seventh.
Yeah, they've been very inconsistent this season. They won two up against Royal.
That'll be Barry Harden's fault, that.
Yeah. And then lost 11. No, what was the score against Royal?
82.
So they've just been struggling. For some reason.
Barry needs to get his his boots up.
I think Barry was my tip for player of the year in Division 2 this season. He's not living up to the
standard. I think December's the type of time where you start seeing random results because of Christmas dues. Yeah.
The leagues look crazy with so many, you know, like us, we've got like five games in hand or something. It's
going to be a busy April in the US.
When they replay, yeah, exactly. Which is good, you know, we want that. We just want to be playing them as often as we can, but with the weather as well.
You don't know what players coming back from university and stuff as well. Anything can happen.
Michael versus Pulley.
Oh, they got their
drum roll. Michael scored their second goal of the season on Saturday. Bagged for them. So he's gone back to the sounds of it from St John's back to his former club. He could be just the striker they need, really.
That's it.
You face
could be the catalyst they need.
Pulley this week, and you'd have to go for a away win. Pulley.
You have to. Pulley are a good side. They're still fighting for the top four spot. So, you fancy them there, but Michael, you never know.
Marion Governors Athletic, obviously, I don't know, you've probably not played against Governors Athletic yet.
No, I haven't. I mean, they're the bottom league, are they?
No, they're not. Michael are bottom. So.
Right. Well, Marion, in fact, there's another feeder club, actually, because Marion have actually got quite a few ex-St. George's
Stewie Morris,
combi players. Who else was there?
Ash Higginbottom.
I think is Keir the manager there or not?
Him and Dave Brew, I think, are in charge.
Well, we actually played them last year, and it was a very tough game. We might have only won 3-0, but the game was pretty tough. They done quite well, so I think down at their pitch, they're a hard team to beat.
So they'll be a home win there. Dave,
yeah,
would you
agree? I'd say home win. Right. Around for sure, yeah.
Right, before we leave you for the week, now Cummins is in FA Cup action this week. We touched on about it earlier. He's playing for Curzon Ashton, the Conference North side, against AFC Wimbledon. It could have been Cal versus
Cummins. I think I would have been like, go by now. No, he's doing brilliant for himself. I've watched a few of the highlights on there. Of a few of his games, and he looks fit and
big target sharp. Man now, isn't he?
Well, he's always been a big target man. I mean, I've played up front with him a few times for the Isle of Man team, and he was a bit like, do you remember Johnny Callow that used to play for Ayr United? Hold the ball up, solid, win in the air, you know, massive bloke. But it's brilliant that he's. He's playing in the FA Cup.
And he's been paired with ex-Liverpool striker Adam Morgan at the moment.
He's on BT Sport as well,
BT Sport. It's great. Sunday lunchtime, 12 o'clock, when you're nursing your hangover. It's perfect hangover watching. I don't know why I looked at you then, Callum.
Don't forget your sausage wrap.
Yeah. It'll be me. I'm work's due tomorrow night.
It's the season. Of course, Wes, you're away at Old Boys on Saturday, so it's a bit of a tough
game. We're at home. We're at home. They beat us earlier on in the season. I just thought it was a bit too soon for us. They're well organised. Definitely too soon for us.
Liam Buckley's there.
We did score first. We did score first on the day, and we did play start quite well. But yeah, they were just better.
They seemed
more physical as well, and it was just a horrible day.
Won the title last 2 years, I think.
So they were the team. It was good for you know, our lads to get involved in that. It was a right kick up the bum for them as well. Since then they won everything, and then we lost against Union Mills. They got their first win against us, which was very, very hard to take.
Yeah, I think the B scored against you, Lee Christian. Are you talking your target man?
A lot of people fell out that day. But yeah, we come back from that, beat Cobby last week.
So it'll be a good gauge this week to see.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't know what they're like, what the team's like, but we're looking decent, so.
Good stuff. Right, best luck for the rest of the season, you chaps. Thanks for coming in and spending your lunch hour with us.
Thanks, guys.
You can tweet us throughout the week at Monk's Footy Blog anytime, day or night. You can subscribe on iTunes to the podcast. Amazing. You know that, Dave?
It's amazing technology these days.
It's amazing, isn't it? Just search Manx Football. And of course, we're on audioboom.com/channel. /Manx Football. I always struggle saying that. I think it's the slashes.
Yeah, too many slashes.
Right, it's us off now. See you next week.